Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Vintage Gamer, and here's what he has to say. Hi Sandman, I recently rewatched a movie from the 1990s called The Last of the Mohicans, with Daniel Day-Lewis. Watching it now through Red Pill eyes, just wow. If you have the time, I was hoping you could actually watch the flick, which is a good movie. And then I'd like to hear your take on it from a MGTOW point of view. Unquotes. Well, Vintage Gamer, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I downloaded it a few years ago, but just never watched it. It's funny when you have a short attention span watching a film from 1992. Well, this time I made it through, and like Game of Thrones, where the first few episodes are kind of boring, once I pushed through the first 20 or 40 minutes of The Last of the Mohicans, the good stuff was on the other side. It takes place during the Seven-Year War between the British and the French in 1757. There are many spoilers ahead. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, I'm sorry because it's from 1992. The main Red Pill story here is a love triangle between Hawkeye, a white man raised by the Mohicans, Cora Monroe, the daughter of a British colonel that's in command of Fort William Henry, which is under siege by French and Mohawk forces. The third party in the triangle is Major Duncan Heward. In the first 10 minutes, we see Duncan being friend-zoned by Cora, and he just doesn't take a hint and keeps pressuring her to marry him and return to London with him. But she betrays her own tribe and nation by falling for Daniel Day-Lewis's character, because he's more of a Sigma male. He doesn't want to fight against the French and just wants to leave to Kentucky with his brother, father, and tribe and do his own thing. He displays competence to her, he's attractive, and he makes her tingle, and is also more intelligent than Duncan. Women's subconscious desire is to find a man that would actually create the greatest chance of survival of their genes to the next generation. Hawkeye shows he actually knows how to preserve life when he chooses not to bury a bunch of settlers that were killed by a Mohawk war party. Cora shit tests him and insists that he does, and he tells her no, because that would tell their Indian and French enemies exactly where they were. You also get the feeling that Duncan, the friend-zoned simp, is going to take revenge on Hawkeye at some point, thinking that he's the one that stole Cora from him. What he doesn't understand is that his own simping and bad incel looks stole her away long before. Cora's father also wants to hang Hawkeye for sedition, because he helped some colonial militia members leave Fort William Henry. Cora pleads to her father not to kill him, and Duncan says she is defending him because she's infatuated with him. Duncan insists on military justice because he probably thinks it might give him another chance with Cora at some point. I first thought that Daniel Day-Lewis from There Will Be Blood playing a native man was complete whitewashing. But we quickly learn that he was adopted into the tribe in a way like Moses, and his adopted father calls him my white son. I'll discuss more about this red-pilled film in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Chris Whalen. He's a U.S. business tax expert serving clients in North America and abroad. The first consultation is always free, just like men going their own way. He's also a fellow MGTOW and will keep your pills red, but brings your books back to black. Reach out to Chris Whalen, CPA, today for all your personal and business accounting needs, before taking care of your sexual needs. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to white women riding the Mohawk Tomahawk Cock Carousel Clown World Show. Even though the film Dances with Wolves is made before this, Kevin Costner was probably inspired by the love story of a white woman falling for a white man raised by natives. But in his story, he plays the main character that falls in love for a white woman raised by natives. It's the opposite. The Last of the Mohicans is based on a novel with the same name that has been one of the most popular English language novels since its publication and is frequently assigned reading in American literature courses. Of course it is. It's got the drama of a love triangle and women are suckers for it. Just look at the Twilight film series if you want to know more. Or possibly Harry Potter. Except Harry doesn't get Hermione because he probably cast a spell and saw that she hit the wall at the age of 30. The Last of the Mohicans film is cheesy romanticism for women and warfare for men. Hawkeye's to be hung, but before that happens, the British surrender the fort to the French, and are supposed to leave peacefully. But the French make a deal with Magua, a native that is adopted by the Mohawks, and is now leading their war party. Magua hates the British because they killed his children, and his wife married another thinking that he was dead. He's a blue-pilled Mohawk simp that can't let go of his one-itis. But I understand why he's pissed off after the British killed his kids. He blames Colonel Monroe and calls him gray hair, and wants him and his seed dead. That means he wants to kill his two daughters, Cora and Alice Monroe. The daughters leave to see their father at the beginning of the story in Fort William Henry, but are ambushed by Magua's men. Hawkeye then rides the rescue to basically save Duncan's, Cora's, and Alice's life. Funny enough, only a couple of days later, Duncan gets jealous and wants to see Hawkeye hung. Talk about not being grateful for someone saving your life. They finally reach the fort, but have to leave it after the French make a deal with them. There is a religious theme that runs throughout the story. A Moses versus Moses kind of story. The main protagonist and antagonist are both adopted by different tribes. There's also the theme of rebellion against the British. This story takes place only 30 years before the Revolutionary War. The theme of the American colonials ready to turn on the British is seen throughout. Even Colonel Monroe's own daughter is turning against her British background and sympathizes with the Americans while sleeping with a Mohawk white man. After the British leave the fort, they get ambushed and the only survivors are Hawkeye, his father, brother, Cora, Duncan, and Alice. They get away for a while and hide under a waterfall, with the Mohawks fast in pursuit. Hawkeye and his father and brother leave the rest behind and promise to come back for Cora one day. But Magua and the Mohawks, which sounds like some bad 80s band, catch up to Cora, Alice, and Duncan, and take them to what I believe is a Huron village, where the chief there decides their fate. He tells Magua that he can burn the girls to death, but he basically has to sell Duncan to the French. The book is different and I don't have time to get into it, but I'm surprised this book was even allowed to be taught in British schools if it has the same anti-English sentiment that runs throughout the film. For a book that was so popular in England, I think there would be censorship because of its anti-British spirit. As Cora and Alice are about to be roasted into a pair of twat kebabs, Hawkeye rides into town, into the Huron town, and pleads with the chief for their lives. The chief says that Alice is free to go to some native tribe as a trophy. Duncan is returned to the British, but Cora still has to be burned to the stake. But this pisses off Hawkeye because he's in love with her. This is where the story goes all Game of Thrones in the last season. Hawkeye wants to exchange his life for Cora's, but somehow Duncan gets roasted instead in all the confusion. Then Hawkeye gets Cora and gets out of there with his brother and father, but Alice is still taken away by Magua. With a name like that, it sounds like Mogwai from the Gremlins. Hawkeye, his brother and father, and Cora ambush Magua, and Magua kills his brother. Alice is all right, but for some random reason, she decides to commit suicide after Magua reaches out his hand to save her. This is completely out of character for a man that was simply a bloodthirsty savage and wanted to burn her alive only 5 to 10 minutes before in the film. This film plays out almost exactly like a miniature version of Game of Thrones. Starts off building up slowly into something good, and then crashes and burns into a convoluted mess. In the past, this sort of drama in a love triangle format never would have happened. Women generally had to do what their father's judgment told them, as if she'd have a choice in the matter. She would have been married off to Duncan. But in the novel or film, you know she's going to fall for Daniel Day-Lewis. Women all probably love the over-the-top drama, especially when Duncan, the friend-zone simp, is burned alive. Women are probably imagining the same thing happening to every man that asked them out with lower sexual marketplace value. Hawkeye shoots Duncan and from a distance to put him out of his friend-zone misery. Hawkeye is the archetype of the Sigma male that's not in the militia and not a scout. He wants to leave for Kentucky and is indifferent, wanting to do his own thing. Women find the men the most irresistible that are not only attractive physically, but also men that take their own side instead of dying for some other man's cause. That's what women would do. They always play only one side, their own. They're attracted to a Sigma man that reflects their own selfish values back at them. Guys that have no real loyalty to their tribe of origin and look out for number one. Hawkeye, in some sense, even though he's an adopted Mohican, would also be considered a male chameleon. He's reflecting a woman's value system back in her and letting her fall in love with herself. So in the story, Alice dies through suicide, and Uncas, Hawkeye's brother, is also gone in the end. So both Cora and Hawkeye lose their siblings. That's probably also why you don't hear Alice speak all that much throughout the movie, because it would overshadow the happy ending where Hawkeye and Cora get together at the end and kiss on the mountaintop. In the book, it's Cora that dies and Hawkeye actually kills Magua instead. But both the film and the book's endings appear to be a complete mess. The last 10 minutes of the film should have taken 20 or 30 minutes to play out with better pacing. But the first 30 or 40 minutes of the film should have only taken 10 to 15 minutes to play out. If this film were made today, I'm sure it would have gotten tons of reshoots to add extra material to the end. It's easy to fix the beginning by just cutting some of the most useless footage out and speeding up the pacing. The idea that Hawkeye's brother Uncas is the last of the Mohicans is also kind of a joke. Yes, the Mohicans were a vanishing people living on the Hudson River, but the Mohicans resettled in Wisconsin and a long way from the vanishing frontier of the Catskills. Back when the book was written in 1826, New York was still on the edge of the frontier in many ways. It wasn't until 1804, almost 40 years later, that the Lewis and Clark expedition went west of the Mississippi River to figure out what America got with regards to the Louisiana Purchase. So many people didn't really know in England if they were the last of the Mohicans or not at the time the book was written in 1826. Much of North America was still wild. The Mohicans merged with another tribe in Wisconsin, so I'm not really sure if their culture and way of life remains intact once they got to Wisconsin. As for the film, some people say it's one of the best films ever made. But with regards to cinematography, the film is dark for much of it. Most of the daylight scenes don't look very much saturated with color. It kind of look washed out like a painting. I understand the filmmakers trying to make it look like something no one had seen before. But with time, it just looks like an old film. Back in the early 1990s, its look would have stood out, among everything else. It ended up winning Best Sound at the Oscars that year, but that's it. I was bored by the cinematography, and the adaptation from the source material was really bad. I still don't understand how people thought this was one of their favorite films of all time. As for the red pill perspective in the book, Hawkeye loses Korra and goes his own way. But in the film, her survival is shoehorned in the end. The most red pill thing in this film is the lesson with regards to women friend-zoning men. It happens all the time throughout history. But back then, it never really would have happened unless the woman came from a wealthy family. If she didn't and someone with much higher status showed up as a suitor, she usually couldn't say no because of family pressure. It wasn't about the physical survival of offspring that gave her tingles. It was all about material wealth and social status. Those things are part of civilization, and those things are incompatible with female nature, which is probably why women are working hard to dismantle that part of civilization. I sort of like the music in this film as well. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Vintage Gamer for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Korra didn't want to smash Duncan, and he got smashed by an open pit fire full of flames. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the films from the 1990s to take over half an hour to begin telling their stories in action away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.